Yes, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of The Week Review. This is episode 5. Today I'm joined by Sergio. Sergio, how have you been and how are you doing?
I've been good. I'm doing well, as always. Happy to be here. How are you doing?
Not too bad. It started snowing this week. So, very excited. Went out yesterday, played with the snow, rugby, tackled my sisters, and that was fun. What did you do yesterday?
Lovely to see. I stayed at home and I played some Warzone with my mate. We got 2 wins.
let's go. All right, without further ado, in this episode, we will cover the games that were happening last week, and we will look forward to the other games which are happening throughout this week and the weekend. Which game do you want to start off with? Do you want to just start off with the Tuesday and then Wednesday and Thursday? Or do you want to start with the best one?
We'll start off on Tuesday and go chronologically. So, firstly, the Inter Milan versus Juve game, the Coppa Italia, first leg. I watched the second half. It was a very decent game, a lot of drama. It was, in the end, 2-1 to Juve, which you actually predicted, right?
That's 3 points on the board.
3 points on the board. And it was just a very good game. Pretty sure Ronaldo scored 2.
Yeah. Boy, that was mad as well. I predicted Ronaldo to turn up, and he did.
He turned up. After being down, actually, Lautaro Martinez scored the 9th minute, and then they came back, which was very nice. And then they'll be playing tomorrow, or the time that this episode goes out, in the second leg.
Yeah, obviously.
Do you have any comments?
Yeah. We messed up. We thought it was a one-legged game. Turned out it was two-legged. So we were predicting Juventus to play against Napoli, which is still on the cards, obviously. But that will happen further down the line and not this week, obviously, because they're playing each other twice. So we messed that one up. We made some mistakes here and there, but hey, who cares? Like you said, it was a very good game. Very intense as well. Ronaldo scored twice. I think he scored a penalty as well in that game. He looked very solid as per usual. He obviously turned 36 now as well. So it'll be interesting to see how he carries on his journey at Juventus. And I think they will go through, but we'll get onto that in a second.
About some games I'd like to mention.
Mm-hmm.
I'll mention 3. I'll keep the best for last. In the German Cup, Dortmund beat Paderborn 3-2 after they struggled quite a bit in extra time. I'm pretty sure. No. Yeah, and added extra time. Also, Bayern Leverkusen got knocked out by 4th tier side, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their name is, but they lost 2-1 in extra time as well. In the DFB Pokal.
Oh, cow. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was interesting. And then obviously the Manchester United Southampton game, 9-0. Any thoughts on that game, Yop?
Oh, mate, I felt bad for Ralph. You know, bigged him up so much in the episode we never released, which is out there, to be fair, but not on this channel. It was a poor, poor game from Southampton, you know. I had Ben Narek in my fantasy and Kieran was taking the piss because he got -7 points, getting a red card and conceding a penalty. So overall, I was happy because unlike United, Bruno Fernandes was exceptional again. I think Martial came on and scored twice. Cavani was good as per usual as well. A real killer in front of goal. But yeah, it was like towards the back end of the second half where they started pushing for the goals because they were 4-0 up at halftime. And then it was like 6-0 and then all of a sudden went to 9-0 in like the last 10 minutes of the game. So yeah, it was a good game. What were your thoughts on the game?
Honestly, I just feel bad for Southampton, like you said. It's the second time in 2 years that they've lost 9-0. It was obviously against Leicester. So it just feels bad for them, man. Like, 9-0 isn't even a game anymore. just taking the piss.
He's already dead. He's already dead. Stop. But yeah, it was very, I don't know. It was a, I suppose if you're a United fan, it was a joy to watch. But I mean, you got to feel for the man. It's the second time in his managerial career. He's contributed to two of the biggest losses and wins. And both Southampton are on it, but for the wrong reasons. So yeah, I feel bad for him. Yeah, and about the other games, about the DFB Pokal games, surprising to see Bayer Leverkusen get knocked out, obviously. But I feel like the main reason for that is clubs underestimating the. I know they always say, yeah, we didn't underestimate them, this and that. But as a player, it's hard to motivate yourself, I reckon, for their little games. So
yeah,
they probably didn't try their utter best. And then they realised, oh, shit, we're like 2-1 down or whatever it was at the time. And they thought, oh, maybe we should put an effort. And then it was already too late. So I think that's the reason. And it was a surprise to see Dortmund actually just narrowly beat Paderborn 3-2, like you said, in extra time as well. So yeah, interesting, because like, what is it now? It's the fourth or fifth big team in the top leagues that have been knocked out, like with the likes of Real Madrid and the rest. So yeah, thought that was interesting.
Obviously, because this is a week review and this is so juicy job, I will just be going over some scores in this week that we didn't mention before. Man City beat Burnley 2-0. Leicester beat Fulham, also 2-0. In the French League, PSG beat Nîmes 3-0. Olympique Lyonnais beat Dijon 1-0. And Lille beat Bordeaux 3-0 as well. And now the Ligue 1 table, first place, well, I'm not sure if this is the same as of now, but the difference between first and third place is 3 points, with Lille being first and PSG being third and Lyon second. I'm not sure if that is still like this when this will come out, but that's obviously, we have to see what happens. Then also the Brighton-Liverpool game, 1-0 to Brighton at home for Liverpool at Anfield. Any remarks on that, Jupp?
Yeah, I mean, what was it? That's like the second loss at Anfield before we get on to the Manchester City game. So again, it looks like Liverpool are on a bit of a dip. I'm going to put this out there. I think at the end of the season, Klopp is gone. I just don't see it anymore. I think the magic is gone. The players aren't motivated enough. I think there's things going on around the changing rooms, etc. Like, I think Wijnaldum is set to leave on a free, even though they don't want him to leave. Thiago hasn't been as good. And I think Alaba also rejected the move to Liverpool. So, yeah, I think the boardroom, etc. is, and the club are in a bit of a mess, to be honest, at the moment. So, yeah. But overall, fair play to Potter, the Brighton manager, for winning. He's a very exciting young manager, in my opinion.
Spurs as well. They beat Spurs and Liverpool in a row. Which is,
yeah, that's very mad.
Big results.
Yeah.
Okay. Big game as well. The Copa del Rey Barcelona against Granada.
Yeah, your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I actually watched the second half and extra time and everything. Barcelona beat Granada 5-3. Barcelona were 2-0 down in the 88th minute. And then Messi just went off. They scored an own goal in the 88th. Granada, and then Alba scored in 90+2. And then they scored again, Griezmann, in the minute 100. Then a penalty was given for Granada and they scored. And then De Jong and Alba again killed the game. I mean, Griezmann got 2 goals, 2 assists. Alba got 2 goals and an assist. But the man of the match was actually Messi with 10 key passes. And it was just insane how all the goals were scored in the same way, except one. Except the De Jong goal, all the goals were just They played the ball back post where Alba was free and he just crossed it in, or Griezmann crossed it in, and that's how they scored all the time. So it was a very exciting game, and fair enough to Barca, but, you know, feels bad for Granada.
Yeah, to just throw away a 2-0 lead with like 4 minutes to go and to go into extra time and then lose. I mean, I think the goalkeeper this game was actually very good for Granada until I'm pretty sure he stopped like all the shots until the 80th minute. Mm-hmm. And obviously the goal from Frenkie de Jong. It was a bit of an error, in my opinion. It dropped perfectly to him after the shot was taken, I think, by Griezmann, maybe? I don't know.
By Messi, I think.
Yeah, Messi. Yeah, it's Messi. But yeah, so I think the Granada goalkeeper had a pretty good game until the 80th minute. And like you said, the goals were also very similar. And yeah, it just proves that the quality at the end. I mean, Barcelona got lucky in a way, I feel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, determination at the same time, really.
Okay. In this week as well, we didn't talk about the Club World Cup. I'll just go and talk about it. Al Ahly beat another Arabic team. I don't really know how to say their name. And yesterday, Palmeiras lost to Tigres.
Mm-hmm.
So Tigres is in the final against Bayern Munich or Al Ahly, which we'll play tonight. So the Club World Cup soon to come, the final. I'm not very sure exactly when, but it's shaping up very nicely. Also, it's the first show Libertadores. I don't know. I think it was something about, where's Tigres from?
Mexico.
I'm pretty sure it's the first Mexican team to win the final, and the first CONMEBOL team in the Club World final.
Yeah. I mean, I think Bayern Munich had the game 2 days ago now. So they had 72 hours to prepare for that game, to fly over to Qatar. It's ridiculous, really. I mean, all for a bit of money, because at the end of the day, we know who's going to win, right? It's Bayern, right? Mm-hmm. Teams in Europe are just too good for the teams in the other continents of the world because of money, right? So at the end of the day, I think it's a bit BS, and that they go to Qatar, I just have a problem with that as well. I don't think the human rights, etc., there are good enough, and I don't think players and big clubs should go there to play a game, right? I think they should make a statement and refuse, but I don't know. We're not at that stage yet of football where they're going to do that, but yeah. But would you agree with me that Bayern is just going to win as a boring tournament, which nobody really cares about, apart from if your team participates in it?
I mean, I think it's just a tournament to give smaller clubs more attention, I guess. I mean, we know who's going to win, obviously. I think it's just nice for other clubs to make themselves known to the world, I guess.
I think Al Ahly is the biggest club in Africa, the Egyptian team.
It's not in Africa.
Al Ahly is.
It's in the Middle East.
No, it's Egypt.
Al Ahly is from the Middle East, no?
No, it's Egypt. I've been to Egypt.
I've been to Middle East.
Many, many fans in Al Ahly from that sport, Al Ahly. So that's because you said they played in East, because it's, what is the CONMEBOL winners, Copa Libertadores winners, and the one African team, and then the one Middle Eastern team, and then the winner from the Europa League and Champions League face off as well. So, yeah. Just boring. Yeah. And like everybody knows who's going to win, and that they have to travel there. I think it was last year as well with Liverpool, where they had to play their like C team against Everton, and they still managed to beat Everton in the FA Cup. But you know, it's ridiculous, really, that they have to compete on two fronts in like 2 days' time. It's ridiculous, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's going to have 3 games in 6 days third game being against Chelsea in the Champions League. So, you know, match timetable and everything, but, you know.
Yeah, I think that's purely because of COVID as well. And the season was longer last season as well. Got, you know, postponed to the next, got longer because of COVID. But, yeah. I wanted to talk about in this week as well, a few things happened in the Netherlands with Ajax. They made a few mistakes, to say the least, a few costly mistakes. They forgot to register Haller for the European squad, for the Europa League. And Onana has been found guilty of using, what is it? Sports enhancing drugs. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's just poor. Like, as I can really say, it's disappointing. Obviously, he's such a young, good keeper. He's 24 years old. He's just throwing his life away because his reputation is going to go to shit. And other clubs might not want to sign him.
Yeah, and what he's come out and said was that he took a pill from his wife. And they had this substance in that pill that I don't know the scientific things behind it, but it was in the doping thing and the doping list, which you aren't supposed to be using. And I think as a professional in football, in any sports, you should know, and you know what you can't and what you can take. And you should always call the club doctor if you have any problems, if you feel ill and what to take and what not to take. It's just an amateur mistake, and they are very lucky because I think in cycling, if let's say a Tour de France cyclist got found guilty of using the drugs that Onana used or any kind of doping, he would have been banned for 4 years. Now, there is one thing which is the bit silly in my opinion, that Onana isn't allowed to train with the club anymore, so he has to now train separately. He's not allowed to train with the squad.
I think it's stupid.
I think if it was a mistake, all right, a year is fine because normally it's 4 years suspension. I think Ajax are going to the CAS, the arbitration of sport, to fight it, but I can't see it changing because the test.
I mean, it shouldn't change. I just don't think they should. He should train by himself.
Yeah, and I mean, it's causing a lot of problems at Ajax because, like I said, Haller isn't in the squad for the Europa League, and Promes is an alleged. He stabbed someone in the leg allegedly, and now they've got someone on drugs. Sports enhancing drugs, obviously, but you know, it doesn't look good for Ajax's like brand image, and it's a bit of chaos. And they face PSV on Wednesday in the semi-finals quarter-finals of the KNVB Beker. So it will be interesting to see what they're going to do about that. But yeah, I mean, they bought in Haller for 22 mil as well, and then to make such a amateur mistake in the registration is very, very poor and very, very stupid.
So being Ajax with so much experience in European football and all the rules and everything.
Yeah, I mean, they signed Idrissi from Sevilla on loan, who's in the squad. So I think this is not, I mean, you buy Haller because you want to do well in Europe, right? You're not buying Haller for him to play against VVV or Emma or any of the bottom side teams in the Eredivisie, right? You buy him so he can push in the Champions League or push in the Europa League. And now, because of a registration mistake, it's poor, in my opinion. Very, really, really, really poor from a club that has the ambitions to compete in the Champions League.
Yeah, I mean, it's just weird. It's just weird at the end of the day.
And then I think Van der Sar said some silly things as well, I think, as a director, and just making up excuses as well, like trying to play off course. I don't like it. Not because I'm a final fan or anything, but I just think it's very poor. And I think many Ajax fans will agree with me that Overmars or Edwin van der Sar made a big mistake, or someone who made the error for Haller especially made a mistake as well. But enough of that.
All right, Wednesday, Napoli Atalanta, thoughts you up?
Boring. Nil-nil. Yeah. Can't say anything else. I mean, I suppose it makes the second leg a bit more exciting because nobody really has the advantage, right? It's nil-nil. So yeah, that's the advantage you can take from this game, that it's equal compared to the Inter-Juve game.
Away goals a thing in Coppa Italia. Our away goals a thing in Coppa Italia. Like, you know, if, because obviously they played at the Maradona Stadium in Naples, if they draw 1-0 at Bergamo, will Napoli go through because it's an away goal? Or is that not a thing in Coppa Italia?
I have no idea, mate. I'm going to assume it is. I think...
Because if that's a thing, then...
Inter Milan. What's the name?
Inter, oh, fucked, yeah.
I mean, it would be funny if Inter scored twice to get at least extra time out of it. But yeah, which gives Atalanta a bit of an advantage, really. Or Napoli a bit of an advantage because Atalanta didn't score an away goal. But yeah, it was just boring. What were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I think Atalanta probably should have taken their chances and they could have won. But we'll see, I guess. But anyways, moving on. Big games on Thursday. Big game on Thursday, sorry. The Chelsea-Tottenham game. Did you watch it up? Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah. Chelsea played very well. Defensively, very strong. I think Thomas Tuchel has really made a solid back line. I like the way he's playing with three at the back. With I think that game he had Alonso and Callum Hudson-Odoi on the right and left mid positions, which I thought was very surprising, really. And then he had Rudiger, Thiago Silva, and Aspilicueta in the centre. So, yeah, it was a good game. You obviously predicted it correct, 1-0, well done.
Of course, 3 points on the board.
But I think just Tottenham are so poor at the minute. I don't know, it's just a really basic way they're playing. If Son and Harry Kane aren't on the pitch or aren't in form, Tottenham just are too reliant on those two. I mean, it's easy to say because pretty much every team has two or one star player, which they really rely on. But it really influences the way they play. So I don't know if Tottenham fans are too happy about the loss as well. I think Tottenham are eighth in the league right now, or Chelsea are eighth and Tottenham are a bit further up. But yeah, just disappointing. But good to see that Thomas Tuchel has really already beaten Tottenham Hotspur and has won a big game.
Yeah. Yeah, Thomas Tuchel looking dangerous for that Chelsea side.
I mean, it's very exciting the way he plays, but I think we covered this in the special. So if you haven't listened to the special, go
make
listen
sure to check it out.
Because we also talked a little bit about Napoli versus Atalanta and their problems. So yeah, go check it out if you want to get some more in-depth analysis and talk on them teams. Moving on, Saturday then, Roma versus Juventus. Did you watch the game or what were your thoughts?
Roma, I did not watch the game, no. I did see that Juve won 2-0.
Yep.
Yeah, that's about it. Do you want to talk about it? I assume you watched it. I'm a Roma fan.
Yeah, the goal from Cristiano Ronaldo in the 13th minute was just phenomenal, really. He takes it down with his right and then slots it into the bottom right corner with his left foot. It was a very good finish. And then Federico Chiesa scores in the late minutes of the second half to make it 2-0. Yeah, just a very solid performance from Juventus. And I think Roma were a bit short on their finishing and just lacked overall creativity, in my opinion. So, yeah, good defensive Juve. And obviously, if you have Ronaldo, you're always going to make the difference. If you're strong defensively, you can always pump the ball up to Cristiano Ronaldo to do a bit of magic. And otherwise, it's Kulusevski or Federico Chiesa or any other creative player, Dybala, you name him, to make the difference compared to Roma, who don't have that caliber of players to make such a big influence.
Yeah, I can agree. I mean, Ronaldo's just different. It's just built different.
It's just different.
Incredible from the 36-year-old now.
Yeah. So Sunday was a big game, wasn't it? It was Pep versus Klopp.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Liverpool just saying it right now. I watched the second half. And what I can really say is that, as I said in the special, Gundogan. But no, in the special, I will be coming out soon. Gundogan.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible. Scored 2 goals. Did miss a penalty. Did he score 2 goals? He did.
Yeah,
missed a penalty.
Really, yeah.
He missed the penalty though. So, yeah. But he played very well. Phil Foden, take a bow. He's fucking incredible. Bro, how old is he? 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He played so well. Ian Puyol tweeted, oh, what a player Phil Foden. Carlos Puyol, bro. Like, Pep saw this kid. He was like, he's got talent and he does have talent and he's showing it in the Prem. Absolutely destroying Liverpool as well. Like, it's not just some B-Tech Prem team. It's Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 4-1 win. Massive 4-1 Pep. And that's probably one in the league, in my opinion.
Wow, already. I mean, there's still a long way to go. I think different things will influence the title race. But yeah, like you said, Manchester City are a long way ahead now. And I think they have a game in hand as well for Manchester United and Leicester. So I think it was a spectacular performance from Manchester City. It was really the oil machine that Pep Guardiola has created in Manchester. I mean, like you said, you touched upon Gundogan. He was very solid. The goals weren't spectacular or anything. But to be in the right place at the right time is also a compliment for that. Kieran actually made a really funny post on the Instagram story about Gundogan's penalty, which made me laugh into Rosette. That one went. And Pep Guardiola has now come out and said that maybe he's actually going to consider Edison taking the penalties, which will be interesting. If you miss or the keeper saves it and one long ball and you're actually screwed. So it'd be interesting to see how we're going to cope with that if that does come.
He doesn't
along.
Miss pens, so that's why he's going to go take the pens. Yeah. He doesn't miss them.
But if he, why would it be taking so long for Pep to decide that? Because he's a goalkeeper. I mean, recently we saw a goalkeeper take a penalty, didn't we?
Yeah, against Atletico Madrid. Anyways, moving on.
but I thought Liverpool were poor. Alisson had a really, really bad game. I think 2 of the 4 goals were just him passing the ball into the feet. Yeah, I mean, we're just sloppy Liverpool, and Salah's penalty or the penalty given was a bit meh.
I don't think that was a penalty.
You could argue it was, or you could argue it wasn't. I mean, there's a bit of contact there, and I mean, Diaz should have been a bit more intelligent, knowing that Salah loves to go to ground a bit like Sterling does sometimes. So. Mm-hmm. Sterling scored as well, which was good to see against his former club, obviously. I think Liverpool just outclassed and stunned. I don't know how and why, but kind of shows they're really, really missing Van Dijk. And I think Trent Alexander-Arnold had a pretty poor game. Firmino and Mane were non-existent. And I think the whole midfield was just non-existent because every time Phil Foden got the ball, it was like, oh, wow, he could just run through everyone. Because there was no one there. But that assist from Phil Foden was very, very, very nice.
Goal from Phil Foden.
And the goal was also very good. So yeah, I was the most impressed by Phil Foden, and I think everybody was, because I think Pep Guardiola, when he came to see, was like, yeah, this is the best player I've ever seen, even though, you know, he's coached Messi. Right. So it was a really, really big statement from Pep. And I'm still a bit skeptical about that, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we also forgot to mention 2 big games in the previous episode.
You do that, a few more games, and then they will be part of these games. Just a few more scores I'd like to talk about. Bayern beat Hertha 1-0. Nico Varela scored for
Inter, they beat Fiorentina 2-0, and they are now top of the league.
Mm-hmm.
They were top of the league for a few days until AC Milan beat Cordone, was it? Yeah, 4-0, with two from Ibra and two from Rebic. Also, Arsenal lost to Aston Villa, which was interesting again. Ollie Watkins scoring 10 goals for his first PL season. Ex-Brentford player, playing very well. Arsenal just not performing again.
Dortmund actually lost to SC Freiburg. And they are 16 points behind Bundesliga leaders, Bayern. Then Leipzig beat Schalke 3-0.
Schalke just ain't it right now. Wout Berghorst scored yet again for Wolfsburg against Augsburg. They won 2-0. And then another massive goal game was the Leverkusen Stuttgart game. They came back and they scored 5. It's a 5-2 game after getting knocked out of the cup. That was an interesting, exciting game. Real Madrid struggling yet again in their attack with Varan scoring 2 goals, helping them win 2-1 against Huesca, which are 20th in the league. More about Real Madrid in a soon-to-come episode. Make sure you are listening in. Now the derby from Istanbul. Do you want to talk about it, Ilk?
Yeah.
Just mention some.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that these two games. My bad. I should have done my research a little bit better. But Fenerbahce did play against Galatasaray, the biggest game in Turkey. Galatasaray was a bit of a disappointing result, in my opinion. But it's always a game for the fans, which were obviously not there because of COVID. So it was a 1-0 victory for Galatasaray, a goal from Mohamed, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, they just saw the game out, really. I didn't really watch any of it, but I could imagine that was the case. And then we also missed out on Marseille versus Paris Saint-Germain, who lost to PSG, 2-0, and Payet Karate Kit. Verratti, I think it was.
Yeah,
he got sent off for that. So, yeah, it's always a heated game, PSG Marseille, in the last 2 years or so. They played in the Coupe de France final and lost, I think, 2-0 as well. And then Neymar went out and tweeted things here and there with Payet again. So, and then you had the racist allegations from Neymar for Alvaro, I think it was. So yeah, was very exciting again.
Alvaro nearly kicked him in the face.
So yeah, it was a very exciting game. Red cards, goals from Mbappe and Icardi, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, it was a good game. Which make the league really interesting, like you said, with Lille on top, and was it Olympique Lyonnais and PSG chasing the league leaders. So, yeah.
I'd like to mention also a few more games. Sevilla beat Getafe 3-0 and Papu Gomez scored his first goal. Incredible goal from outside the box.
Go listen to the podcast. See what I have to say about Papu Gomez.
Napoli lost 2-1 against Genoa.
Mm-hmm.
Which reset them back. And then Olympique Lyonnais beat Strasbourg 3-0, 2 from the pie, and then Leo also won 2-0, which makes him top of the league. I know Lazio won 1-0 as well. And a big game that we didn't actually, two big games we didn't actually talk about, the first one is the United Everton game.
Yep.
3-0. Do you want to expand a bit?
Or? Yeah, I feel like United played very well. In the second half, they obviously went up 2-0. Goals from Fernandes and Cavani. Fernandes's goal was a beautiful goal. I mean, he looks up, he sees the goalkeeper a little bit off his line, and he just decides to whack it from, I think, the edge of the box, and it just goes top ends. It's just a joy to watch that guy play currently for Manchester United. And but a fair play to Ancelotti. He got his team back out on the pitch, and I think in less than 2 minutes or less than 3 minutes, it was 2-2 again. So that really spiced up the game. And then McTominay scored a header after the cross from Luke Shaw.
Luke Shaw was playing very well, actually.
Yeah, as soon as Alex Telles has come in, Luke Shaw is looking like maybe the left back for England, because Chilwell isn't really performing to the levels he was at with Leicester. So that could be a good shout for the English left back to go and play. He's very he's impressing, I think, everyone. Obviously, he's not like an athlete if you look at his body shape, but he's very impressive and he's very good. And then, yeah, Calvert-Lewin scored in the 90 plus 5th minute to seal a draw. So yeah, very exciting game that was, a 6-goal thriller. And yeah, that was a joy to watch. Really, do you have any thoughts on the game?
It's just incredible. Just shows how good the Premier League actually is. I mean, they scored. It was 1-0. It was like a back and forth game. You know, it was 1-0 United, 2-0 United, 2-1, 2-0, 3-2, and then 3-3. Dominic Calvert-Lewin in the 90 plus 5. I don't know if you already said, but it's just very entertaining. And Everton actually playing very well this season. They still have 2 matches in hand against most of the other teams, except City. But yeah, they're not doing too bad after the great start to the season.
Yeah, obviously they dropped off a little bit, and I think Calvert-Lewin hadn't scored from like in the January month. And yeah, it's good to see to see James on the score sheet again. Very exciting player, obviously. Very creative player. So yeah, it was a joy to watch. Do you have any other mentions, or should we move on to?
I'll mention the Harry Kane came back from injury, got a goal against the West Brom game, Spurs 2-0 for Spurs, and then one last game before we wrap the past week. Actually, two more games. Tuchel got another win against Sheffield United. Chelsea won 2-1 last night. It was on goal, so they still haven't conceded from an opposition player. But yeah, that's 3 wins in a row for Tuchel and Chelsea. Just looking good for them. And then the Barcelona-Betis game was incredible. I don't know if you watched it, but I saw part of it. Yeah, it was 3-2 to Barcelona. They were winning, Betis were winning 1-0. The half-time break, then Messi came on, scored a goal, created another goal. Then Betis drew it up, so it was 2-0. And then Trincao, with his first goal in La Liga, scored a banger from just inside the box, top left curler off the crossbar and in. And yeah, it was just unfortunate for Betis, but fair enough to Messi. It was a great game, very entertaining as well. There was a lot of good games this week, actually.
And Trincao obviously scored his first goal for Barcelona in La Liga.
Was that his first goal for Barcelona?
Yeah, the commentator.
I thought it was his first goal in La Liga.
I think it might have been the first goal in La Liga or first goal for Barcelona, but the commentator was just like, oh my God, he always misses. And I'm just like, shut the fuck up, please. It was a beauty of a goal, to be fair, to Trincao. But yeah, it was a good game. And just to come back onto Barcelona as well, the Granada game, you were like, I looked at it, it was 2-0 Granada, right? And then you were like, are you watching the Barcelona game? I was like, wait, shouldn't the game already be over? And then it was 2-0. And then I started watching with you. And then, yeah, Barcelona just turned it around, which was kind of funny to see that. Yeah, so Barcelona, are they in form or still?
I mean, they haven't lost in some games. They've just won some games in a row, so could say they are in form, but they are struggling in some easier games, I would say.
Yeah, like if you look at the game itself, like if you look at the results, I reckon they are in form. But if you look at the way they're playing and how difficult they're making it themselves, they're still a bit iffy in that regard. So then we're now going to look ahead this week with Tuesday's game, Juventus versus Inter in the Coppa Italia semi-final. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think it's going to go through? What's your prediction on this game?
I'm just going to say it's going to be a 2-1 win for Inter.
So it's going to go to extra time?
Yeah. Wait, 2-1 win for Inter when... Wait, hold on. No, I'm not going to say a 2-1 win for Inter because then that would destroy up. I'm going to say a 1-0 win for Inter. No, because I don't know if it goes away. You know what? 1-0 for just a draw, and then I'll make Juventus go through. What about you?
It's going to be an interesting game. I think Juventus haven't actually lost to Inter Milan, I don't think, this season. So I'm going to have to say, I'm going to say 3-2 Juventus.
Juventus. Interesting.
Before we move on, though, our darling Kieran has left us a voice message with his predictions for this week, as per usual, because of the time difference, he isn't always awake to record. So, let's have a listen to what he has to say.
Okay, Yopi, my predictions for this week, I think Juventus will draw 1-1 with Inter, so Juventus go through. I think Napoli will win 3-1, so Napoli through. I think Everton will beat Spurs 2-1. I think Barcelona will beat Sevilla 3-1. Leicester-Liverpool, 2-2 draw. Man City against Spurs, I think City will have that 3-1. Napoli-Juventus will win 3-1. That's my prediction for the week.
A lot of 3-1s in there. And I also predicted 1-0 for the Juve game. So that means that Juve...
Change mine to 0-1 for Juve. 1-0 to Juve. My prediction.
So we're all saying that Juventus are going to go through in this game. Then Wednesday, we have the other game, the other semi-final. Napoli versus Atalanta obviously ended 0-0. So all to play for, really. So there's as well for Juve Inter, obviously, but more so maybe for the Napoli-Atalanta game. We are still not sure whether the away goals count as like a double, like in the Champions League. But what are you going to say?
I'm going to say 2-1 Napoli.
I'm going to have to go with my boys in that. Blue and black, Atalanta to win 1-0.
What did Kieran say again for this match?
We will figure that out later. I will write that down later. I think he said 3-1 for this game, for Barcelona to win.
He said Barcelona wins 3-1 for the next game.
Yep.
I'm going to say against Sevilla. I'm going to say Sevilla wins it 2-0.
Oh, I'm going to go for a draw, you know, because
probably
I think...
Probably a draw is Copa del Rey.
Yeah, a draw in extra time. And I'm going to...
No, you can't do that. Come on.
It's going to be a 2-0 draw. And then... Oh. And then I think Sevilla are going to win on penalties.
Okay. So we're predicting a lot of goals.
Yeah. I mean, like, Barcelona are obviously in form. But Sevilla are also very good at this moment in time. And obviously, they brought in Papu Gomez. It's going to be a very good game, in my opinion. Another cup game, Everton versus Spurs.
I'm saying Spurs are just going to win it 1-0, plain old.
I think Everton are going to beat Spurs and go through in the FA Cup. I mean, Spurs... just about beat West Brom. If you look at the game itself, it was very slow paced. I think Everton come off a draw against Man United, feeling confident, in my opinion. Obviously, getting a late goal shows dedication for the team as well. So I'm going to say a 2-1 win for Everton. Mm-hmm. I think Spurs will score. But I think Everton will go through. Right, then Leicester City, who drew this weekend against Wolves in a 0-0 game play and face an out-of-form Liverpool. What do you make of that game?
I reckon Liverpool are going to come back for that, and I reckon they're just going to win between 2-0 and 3-0, maybe 3-1. And I'm just going to say 2-0 Liverpool. I think they'll be hungry for a win.
Yeah, I think there's obviously like how long is this, you know, losing rate going to go on for? And there's always like, you could say, oh, they're going to keep losing and like a team is going to keep winning when, you know, there's going to be a moment in time where Liverpool are going to win. But I don't know if this is this game. I think they're going to draw this game, I reckon.
It's an FA Cup.
No, it's Premier League.
This one. Oh, it's Premier League, yeah.
So I think it's going to be a 2-2 draw. I'm going to say 2-1 Leicester.
One sec, I just saw a stat that I thought was interesting. Against the top six, Phil Foden has scored 17 goals or assists in 12 games in all competitions. That's incredible. Phil Foden. Take a bow.
Yeah.
Speaking of Phil Foden, Man City, Tottenham on Saturday. Two good games for Spurs. Man City are just going to win it 2-0 again.
Well, I think a 4-1 victory for Manchester City this time.
4-1 again?
4-1, yeah, again. I feel like they're so in form, they're not going to drop points anytime soon. Yeah, and I think they're just going to win comfortably. I don't think Spurs have a solid enough defence to defend against Raheem Sterling or Foden. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how Højbjerg does. Obviously, like a strong midfielder who loves a tackle. But ultimately, I think there's going to be a red card in this game. Don't know for who, but I'm going to predict a red card. And if it's in favour for Manchester City, I can see it increase, and that's what I reckon. I reckon a red card for Tottenham Hotspur. Then Napoli versus Juventus is also a very interesting game. I mean, they're really close to each other in Serie A at the moment. I think Juventus are on 42 points, and Napoli on 37. So they've really got to win to catch the top four. What do you make of this game? What are your predictions in that?
I don't know. I feel like if Napoli win the Coppa Italia game, they might come with a bit more momentum. But if they lose, it's going to be hard. But I'm going to say that it's this league, so I'm just going to say it's going to be a 1-1 draw.
That's actually a really solid shot. That's a really realistic game. But I'm going to have to say Napoli don't really have a striker at the minute. Go listen to the January transfer special where we talk, like I said, a little bit more about the striker problems as we rate Napoli's transfer window, I think, or yeah, in some way. So I'm going to have to back Juve here because they are really hungry to get closer to AC Milan, and can't really see them drop points against the Napoli side who's recently lost against Genoa. Only scored one goal, and then again, Atalanta couldn't score a goal. Playing Politano, who's more of a right winger up front, or Chucky Lozano, also not really a striker. And Mertens is obviously out, so he can't really fill that spot. So I'm going to have to say a 2-0 victory for Juve.
That's a good show as well.
Yeah, I think Juve are very solid at the back, and I can't really.
Yeah, that is the lift as well.
And then Sunday, we have another big clash, a bit similar to Napoli versus Juve. It's Inter-Lazio. It's number two versus number five. The same really counts for Lazio. They can't really afford to drop points, but the same can be said for Inter if they want to challenge AC Milan for the title. Obviously, 2 points behind. Another big game for them. What are you going to make of that game?
I reckon as good as Lazio are attacking, they'll be weak at the back, and then Inter are very strong attackingly as well. So I reckon it's going to be a high scoring game, but I reckon Inter are going to pull through with it and they're going to win 3-2.
You won't believe this.
And Inter Milan to beat Lazio 3-2.
Right, so I'm going to say it's a 2-1 for Inter. Wow, look at that.
I mean, you can still go for the same score.
No, beggars can't be choosers. 2-1 Inter.
I'm going to actually say it's going to be a solid game. I think 4-0. Or 4-2. 4-2. We'll make it 4-2 for Inter Milan. Do you want to put out anything? Because we've obviously now looked forward and ahead of these games. Do you have any things you want to say to the people at home?
Obviously, stay safe. I hope you're all doing well in these bad weather conditions in some places. And probably we will be thinking about the Fantasy Football League, but we're not sure if we're going to do it because it's already halfway through the Premier League. So it might be a bit useless. But if you guys really do want it, do make sure you let us know on Instagram at Offside Football Podcast. And also thanks again to our editor, Jakob. Check him out on YouTube, JMXS Beats. He does a lot of music. He's a very talented guy. Also, you'll be able to find him on our Instagram. And that's all from me. Thank you very much for listening, sticking around to the end. Job, any comments?
I want to just... You have been very good, very supportive. Not you, Sergio, but the people listening. But you have also been very supportive. we've been growing recently. We are thinking of actually doing a giveaway. So if you made it this far, we might give away a football shirt of your choice. I think we'll do that in the lead up to our Chelsea Atletico special, because obviously Kieran, Chelsea fan, and Sergio, Atletico fan. So we thought that was appropriate.
We already know who's going to win there.
It's going to be an interesting game, to say the least, but enough of that. And also, if you like this, make sure you go and check out the week review 4, which is already up, and the January transfer special. And if you want to know our thoughts on the signing of Thomas Tuchel and all the others, the Chelsea special is already out, which has been going
ham as well. Also, a Real Madrid special coming up soon, so make sure you check that out as well for some possible transfers. We think that could be good.
Yeah, we've scouted 3 players from each team. Three players each from different positions, etc. But enough of that before we go and spoil the whole episode. This Friday, 6 or 7 o'clock, Real Madrid special. So yeah, and like I said, I hope you enjoyed. Please do like and subscribe. Not really. Please share if you can. And yeah, go follow the socials as well. And if you have any business inquiries, it is at Official Football Podcast on Instagram. And if you want to email us any business inquiries, please let us know on our Gmail, which is offsidefootballpodcast@gmail.com. Stay safe, have a good day, and we will see you later.